Love that. Wait, let me read that one more time.
Please do, because that is a gem.
The human body is a necessary, horrible vessel. We all have to ride around in these failing flesh machines, doing our absolute best with what we've got.
Wow. You know what?
I felt like saluting. Yes. That's
salute. Nasty, bruised, and short in a horrible vessel. I like it.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I'm going to kick off with something from Science Daily.
Oh, what do you have from Science Daily? Tell me.
It's the latest research. And it says 25 years of age is the golden age for the ability to make random choices.
Is it the cutoff? No, it's
the time when you can be the most random. Okay. So it says people's ability to make random choices or mimic a random process, such as coming up with a hypothetical result for a series of coin flips, peaks around age 25, according to a study published by PLOS Computational Biology. That just rolls right off the tongue.
It does.
So they said previous studies have shown that aging diminishes a person's ability to behave randomly. So when I read this, I immediately thought of like improv and how I wonder if they had worked with people who were older improvers or had been improvising for a long time, if the results would have been different.
Oh, you know? Right. Because with improv, you know, you're trained to just be very open and not to be so rigid.
And I assume that would help with being random, right? So it says, however, it's been unclear how this ability evolves over a person's lifetime, and it's been impossible to assess the ways in which humans behave beyond simple statistical tests. So what they did is, and usually these studies are pretty small, but they had 3,400 people. Ages 4 to 91. That must have been fun, the 4-year-olds.
Yeah, right.
Each participant performed a series of tests online that assessed their ability to behave randomly.
Well, you know, 4-year-olds would be like, this is stupid.
Yeah, and they start pressing buttons.
Yeah.
The 5 tests included listing hypothetical results from a series of coin flips so that they would look random. Mm. So they had to put down, like, you know, heads, tails, whatever.
Okay.
And then guessing which card would appear when selected from a randomly shuffled deck. So, not guessing, sorry, listing what you think will come up and show it's random.
So, this is about making guesses.
Yeah, and trying to make something look random.
Okay.
Which is weird. So, it's like whatever your idea of being random is. And then listing the hypothetical results of 10 rolls of a die. So, the kind of sequence if you were actually rolling a die, they're asking you to pretend that you are and to come up with a random series of numbers. I'm actually not bad at this. That's why I like to play roulette, because I'm random.
It works
out sometimes.
Okay.
I just go for it. I don't believe that there's any kind of like...
So gamblers have more of an affinity for being random?
I don't know. For roulette. Roulette is the only game that's truly random. I think the other ones you could probably try to come up with some kind of strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have a strategy for roulette. It's just a ball.
I automatically started thinking about this survey in terms of making decisions for yourself. Making choices. Like, at 25, I can still climb the mountain. Or I can work underground.
Yeah.
Or I can go sailing. As you get older, then it's more like... you are already weeded out things.
You know what you don't want to do.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
But I was thinking about that too, but this is more just totally being random. So like picking the numbers on a die, that's not really consequential for anybody. It said after controlling for characteristics such as gender, language, and education, they found that age was the only factor that affected the ability to behave randomly. So they found that the ability peaked at 25, and then from most people, from people who are over 25, it declined.
Mm-hmm.
So they were not able to be random. I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know. I try to, I mean, I guess that's one of the reasons why improv is good for your brain.
Yes.
Right? It's like it keeps you thinking randomly. And I think random sometimes is synonymous with like being interesting.
You can't pre-plan
in
improv. You can't say, I have this sweet idea and I'm going to force it to go my way.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, if you try to force it out, they're like, I'm going to be an astronaut in this scene. And they're like, no, you're a ditch digger. And it's like, all right, I'm a ditch digger. You can't say, no, I'm a ditch digging astronaut on the moon.
Or you can if you're really bad at it, and yeah. we've seen that happen. Yeah. I haven't done improv in a while, but I was like, yeah, maybe I should get back into it. I like that idea that you come out on stage with an eye. Like, you're like, I'm doing an activity. You think you're chopping vegetables, and someone else comes out, and they're like, okay, they're driving a backhoe. Like, yeah. what? yeah. And then you are.
And then you are. You can't say, no, I'm really chopping vegetables.
Yeah, I'm really chopping
vegetables. You can't deny
on a backhoe.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you have?
I have a little barnyard news.
Oh, awesome. So barnyard news is a segment where we report on animals that are in the barnyard, and sometimes they aren't. Just animals, basically.
Yeah, this is animal. This is animal news.
Animal news.
I thought of you when I saw this. There's, okay. Do you know this place called Cat Island?
Are you serious?
Cat
where
Island,
is it?
Where felines outnumber humans on Japan's Oshima Island.
Cat Island? Is this where all the cats are gathering to
yes.
overthrow us?
Yes. An army of feral cats rules to a remote island in southern Japan, curling up in abandoned houses and strutting about in a fishing village that is overrun with felines, outnumbering humans 6-1.
I was going to say, there's people that are still there.
Yeah.
Humans, you lost.
Get out.
Get out.
Get out
it's
now.
It's done. The cats are probably looking at you like, really?
Yes. Well, it's a mile-long island.
Okay.
So it's small.
How
and
do
it,
cats get
and
there?
To deal with mice that plague the fishermen boats, the cats... They got cats. They introduced cats.
Oh, so they brought the cats in.
Yeah, on this island.
It wasn't
and
like the cats got on.
No. It's not like they stowed away. No, they were brought intentionally, but they multiplied, and now they're there. And it's a mile-long island. That's not
that's
very...
That's not very big.
No. So...
Cat Island.
Right now, more than 120 cats swarm the island with only a handful of humans for company.
Wait, 120 cats?
Yeah.
I was picturing thousands of cats.
I did, too, but think about this. There's 22 people on the island.
And 120 cats.
And the place is mostly abandoned. So it's a whole town.
Of cats.
Of cats, and they roam around in an army.
Are they in formation of some kind? They're like, today we're going to make the shape of a triangle.
There is video of them all going down the wharf, going down the streets.
Chilling.
Right. And
it's a gang.
Yes. And so...
I like it. Cat Island.
There's only a handful of humans. There's 22. Most pensioners who don't join the waves of migrants seeking work in the cities after World War II. That's
okay.
What they, so people are like,
so this, they're still
I'm not
there.
Working.
They're still there.
And then there's one of the people that they're calling it, she's like a cat witch, and she'll come out and like feed the cats. And
a cat
away.
Witch? I think a cat whisperer is better.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just a kind person.
Yeah.
Maybe she's trying to increase the population and become their leader and then drive the rest of the pensioners out. She's never like those other people.
Yeah. So it's a 30-minute ferry ride to the island, and now the only people that visit the island are day trippers coming down to look at the cats. That
wow.
So
the cats are now the main attraction of the island.
Yeah. There's no restaurants, cars, shops, or kiosks selling snacks. It's not a tourist haven, but cat lovers love to go there and see the cats. And then they come out and they see this woman just randomly come out and try to feed the cats. And they're like, this is crazy.
That is so bizarre.
But it's a whole, like, abandoned town where cats rule.
Sounds like Jurassic Park.
Yes, yes.
With I guess this goes under my cats might be God. I think they're going to make this their, they're going to make a stand.
Yes, this is going to be their home base.
Yeah.
The fortress of solitude.
They're like, look what can happen on a small island. You can do this in other parts of the world, cats. You can do it.
Yeah. People go and see the cats and they want to come back again.
Are there cat videos? There's got to be.
There
I
is
video.
Video. Oh, yeah.
Of this.
There is video. They show the cats like running around.
Because I know the internet is like 20% cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if other cats will see this and be like, this is the sign.
Yeah.
We must go.
Right.
To Cat Island. I wonder if there are going to be cats on the ferry. Either cats getting on the ferry, trying to get out to tell other cats,
mm-hmm.
or cats coming in on the ferry.
Like, this is our mecca.
Yeah.
This is
it's
what we're
so
coming
bizarre.
To.
I mean, is there a certain point in which there just won't be enough mice on the island? And then who knows? It's going to be Lord of the Cats.
Yeah.
Like, things are going to get rough out there.
Yeah,
like
what are they
going
to do? So they need the boats to bring more mice. Maybe people are going to come bearing mice.
Well, I think the thing is that now that they figure out that the fishing is, you know, kaput,
mm-hmm.
maybe the cats are like, maybe tourism is going to keep us going.
Right.
People will start bringing mice and catnip and other things that we need to the island.
Right. Speaking and nobody's neutering them, so they're going to be like...
They're going to be, you know, like rabbits, I guess. So, I saw a thing, just a side cat note. I found out that in New Jersey, over the last weekend, their Hello Kitty van was going around. It's a Hello Kitty, it's a cafe bus. It travels around, and it posts up at different locations. and it sells like Hello Kitty snacks and Hello Kitty merchandise. So I saw a picture of the one in New Jersey. It was like, Hello Kitty's coming, whatever. Small girl of Palooza. It was like an overhead shot of this van just surrounded by
little
small
girls
trying to get their snacks. And I was like, man, how come no one told me? It's not coming to New York as far as I know.
Well, that's if it's bullshit. Only New Jersey, where about in New Jersey?
Around where the mall, it went to some big mall.
Oh, okay.
And it was just hanging out in front.
I was like, where do they get a bunch of little girls? How could
little girls will find it.
Yeah.
Little girls will find Hello Kitty. You don't have to worry about it.
That's interesting. I got you a Hello Kitty lollipop from when I went to the Hello Kitty spa
in Dubai. I know. If you had known about this Hello Kitty van in New Jersey as a Jersey person, you would have told me.
I would have told you. I would have taken you.
But it's on the down low. So I found something that I thought this would be interesting for you. You know, we're not internationally known, but we're known throughout the microphone.
That's true.
Rob Bass is going to be in concert.
No.
July 21st in Las Vegas. And there's a hotel. I was just doing some research online because Greg and I, my husband, love to go to Las Vegas.
Yes.
And we're thinking about going there for our anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, where can we go? There's actually a hotel called and casino called The D. And it has changed its marketing. So it's 100% for people who are Gen X. So this is the concert series that they're having. July 21st. It is the Love the 90s, The Party Continues tour. The Party Continues is written in like a marker.
Okay.
And it's Rob Bass.
How else would it be written, Jaquetta?
Rob Bass, Color Me Bad.
Oh!
Coolio, Biz Markie, I'm not done, TLC, and then CNC Music Factory.
Oh my God, they're going to sweat?
People are going to
get sexed up?
Rob Bass. Amazing. Okay, so not to be outdone, they also have...
He's got one song.
That's what I know.
And he's going to sing it over and over.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. There was a time in my younger years where we would go to the clubs and my friends would joke, if you want to know where Katie is...
Just yell out Rob Bass.
When Rob Bass comes on, she'll be on the dance floor.
That's me.
That's her
me.
Jam.
I loved it. That's why, you know, I'm Rob Bass and I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known throughout the microphone.
Yeah.
Because I get stupid. I mean, outrageous. Stay away from me. It's contagious. Such good music.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has another song. People who go to this concert will find out. They're also having July 15th, Goo Goo Dolls.
The Goo Goo Dolls. That's not a crowd pleaser.
Yes.
That's kind of like, no. Did you see my face?
It was fans of the 90s, yeah. Wah-wah. Also, they're having a retro future tour. Now, these are huge concerts, okay? America's premier 80s concert tour. So these are people that in the 80s would just perform on their own.
Yeah.
Now, Howard Jones.
Oh.
English Beat.
Okay.
Men Without Hats.
No.
Katrina and the Waves.
That's all right.
Paul Young and Modern English all sharing this. What are they each going to do, like 10 minutes?
Probably.
And they go back and have a coffee and a Viagra and they're done. They don't care.
They don't care. You're like, let's all, because they know not one of them is going to draw the entire crowd.
No.
So they're all going to have this, you know, all those groups from the 90s. All right. So many of them are made up white guys from
yes.
the suburbs with no imagination.
Yep.
They're like, I'm going to play instruments, sing a power pop song. And
they had one song, maybe two. But in the, I think it's important for young people to remember, there weren't as many musical choices.
Mm.
So a group like Goo Goo Dolls was going to be huge because there just wasn't that much out there.
Unless you really scoured.
Yeah,
and
unless
were
you
very
around.
Proactive.
Right. Which I was not because I was from a rural area. You're in the suburbs, so you're probably getting some more stuff than
you know
me,
what?
But not as much as the city.
Yeah,
right?
But the thing is, we all listen to the stations, the radio stations, and that's where we got the music.
That was it.
And if you wanted to go to a club and listen to somebody new, then it was kind of like tedious. Like, what song are they singing? Because I don't know. Who wants to hear their original
song? And
it was
a risk. It was unknown. You're just going to sound like a venue.
Right. And sometimes the sound was really bad. So it was all feedback and a lot of going on.
Sometimes you would see a band that was going to be huge and you didn't even know.
Yeah.
So not to be outdone. And this one is a concert I'm really upset about. It's called the Art of Rap Concert. Same place. The D Hotel. Iced Tea. Iced Tea, KRS-One, Big Daddy Kane, Raekwon, Mobb Deep, DJ Chuck Chilla, Ghostface Killah, and Onyx. These are bands that like groups or musicians, whatever artists. Are they like 50?
Yeah.
50s? I want to see Iced Tea so badly. I can't even tell you. When I was younger, I could not get to an Iced Tea concert. I was too young. I didn't have the money. I was living in the sticks.
Yeah, yeah.
And these are all bands that I wish I had like a time machine for?
Well, now you don't need a time machine. You just need an airplane. You got to take that big white bird and get over there to Vegas.
Can you imagine Ice-T? Like, people know Ice-T now, I think, as like a film star, does comedy and action.
Yeah.
But he's going to be on stage. I hope he's wearing a bandana.
He has to be.
I hope he still looks good. Like, I hope he can rip off his shirt.
He's going to be ready for this.
Yeah, he's going to. It must
send him
so,
an email. Tell him to get ready.
Get ready. It must be so fun for these people.
Yeah.
I mean, they're such storied performers. Right? He's been performing for decades. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an easy show for him. There's like 10 people on here. Again, he's going to come out and do what? 4 songs? The moment he comes out, everyone's going to go crazy.
Yeah.
He's going to have no time to perform because everyone's going to be cheering and running around.
Absolutely.
And then someone's going to break a hip in the audience.
And that'll be it.
Some old person. So this is at the D in Las Vegas. Apparently, it is targeting people who are exactly our age. Because really, Rob Bass, who the hell else? Boy. You got to be between the, I would say, maybe from 38 to 50?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe even that tighter range. You know, Rob Bass. All right.
I got the 4 R's.
The 4 R's. Rehearse, record, rental, repair.
209 West 40th Street. # Bump Life NYC.
All right, what do you have?
Oh, boy. Okay, we have some advice, and this is courtesy of listener Michael F.
Yes, we are eating off this advice for several episodes now. Thank you so much for sending it in. And if anyone else has a segment, please, or just wants to say hi, you can send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. We will not share your information with anybody. We will not keep it.
Right.
Shout you out.
So Michael F. says, after listening to the show, I realized you're right. There's no real father-in-law advice usually or that gets discussed as standard. Mm-hmm. And I found some, ha ha ha. And along with that, there is office etiquette and open house advice.
This is the 5 piece.
This is so we're doing a piece or two on each show.
Yeah. Which one are we doing, father-in-law today? Are we saving that?
I think what we will do today is office etiquette.
Okay.
Office etiquette.
I have not worked in an office in a while, so I could probably use some information on this.
This is a really interesting one. He also says, hope all is well when I get back from traveling. Going to have to bless the bar with a donation because you guys are the best.
Oh, you're the best.
You're the best, Michael.
Yeah, doing our job.
Michael F. Thank you. Okay, so office etiquette.
Oh, my goodness.
Dear Prudence, I work in a small office with a limited staff. We can hear literally everything that happens from our workspaces.
Oh, it's one of these open offices. Yeah. Those are the worst.
A new colleague has the most unfortunate bathroom experiences every day.
Huh?
From our desks.
Sorry, bathroom experience.
Yeah, this is...
Get ready.
It's an experience.
It's an experience.
From our desks, we can hear every sound. It also smells, and sometimes she leaves leftovers behind. Yes.
Huh? Going on?
She brought air freshener, so she must be aware that something's going on. Can I say something? Maybe post a note to flush twice.
It is a courtesy flush.
It is so uncomfortable, and I'm so grossed out. I try to avoid the bathroom at all costs.
Sometimes, that's terrible.
Sometimes holding my pee all day until I can run across the parking lot to the building next door and use the public restrooms in the lobby.
You're gonna get an infection from that. You can't hold your pee all day, lady. Yeah. It's got to be a lady.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
That's really, really bad. So this is the unfortunate bathroom experience. I don't know. What would you...
Okay. So somebody has a problem with their number twos.
Yes. Or maybe they have, irritable bowel syndrome or Crohn's. Something that they have.
And she knows that she brings an air freshener but doesn't realize that there's leftovers behind as well. So that's always...
How do you not know? Don't you just have a quick check? I mean...
Sometimes they will float up.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Sometimes if you flush, you're like, I'm in the clear.
Yeah.
And then it's like, did they creep back up?
Did they go with the music? The cat came back the very next day.
Well, how about, I think that she should get righteous here and be like, this toilet is not powerful enough.
Yes.
This is some crappy toilet that's made for a residential place.
Because in most offices that I've worked in, it's been industrial toilets. Mm-hmm. And I live in a building that has industrial toilets, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. There's a huge difference.
Yes.
And you're right. This might be one of those like low flow, low flush, like blah, blah.
Like dink. Yeah. You know, this was an office for 3 people or mm-hmm. something and nobody cared. It must be an old building. Old toilet.
But also, I'm imagining, like, some of my friends' offices that are in older buildings, that the the bathroom is positioned in a way that it's just right off of the main room. Like, there's no hallway, there's no, like, antechamber, nothing. It's just, like, a closet.
Right, right. That's a terrible thing. And a lot of offices that adopt this open floor plan have that. But I worked in a place where they actually built a wall.
To separate the bathroom?
To separate, yes. And there was it was thick, and there was shelving on one side.
That's the way it should be.
It was, there was kind of a barrier between the bathroom. You didn't see who was hopping in and out.
I also feel like this bathroom doesn't have proper ventilation, which is an issue as well.
I also worked in another office that did not have it, just like this.
It was just open?
Just open. It was like, you know who's going in and going out and how long they're in there.
The best is if you're in an office like that and you don't lock the door, that's always comfortable for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody from a, you know...
I know. And why do they make...
Shirley from accounts can see you.
And why do they make places like that?
I don't know. It's cheap.
I would go out.
Yeah.
I'd go and find places.
Why doesn't she go to the public bathroom?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's nice.
Yeah.
The other woman's going there.
Well, I think she should write a petition and get the power flush.
Yeah, get the
power
flush,
flush toilets.
All right.
And
so
you know what? If she has a stomach thing, then she's got a stomach thing.
She's got to deal with it.
All right. All right. So,
the
advice.
Though. That's rough.
I know. I know.
Okay, the advice.
Well, there is something called poo-pourri.
Yes. Is that what she's talking about?
She's not. I mean, but I'm saying poo-pourri
okay.
is a lovely thing.
Yeah.
It's a spray that you put in the toilet, like five pumps,
yep.
before you do your business.
We have a couple of sprays because we have parties and we have people over. And I want people to feel as comfortable as possible. So I always make sure to have lots of toilet paper, wipes, everything. A candle gets lit in there. Mm-hmm. Poo-pourri is in there. And matches, whatever somebody might feel comfortable with to mask
there.
What they have done to hide their shame.
What have you done in this
yes.
bathroom?
Because, you know, you go to someone's house, you don't want, you know,
mm-hmm.
you want to feel comfortable.
That's right.
All right. What's the
okay,
advice?
Okay, the advice is righto. If absolutely nothing else, please stop trying to stave off bathroom visits all day, as holding your urine is bad for your kidneys.
Yes.
If you absolutely can't stand to use the office bathroom, please don't wait until the end of the day to visit the public toilets across the parking lot.
Yes.
Number one.
Yes.
Out of the way.
Yeah, don't wait.
All right. So now addressing the situation. There's nothing inappropriate about posting a sign encouraging everyone to flush repeatedly if necessary.
But everyone is going to know that it's Phyllis.
I know.
You know? Because that sign wasn't there before.
I know.
You know? She's like, I'm saved. She said, help. What can I do?
Yeah. And to make sure they've left the bathroom as clean as they found it. It's unfortunate to come to the point of having to leave a note at all, especially among a small staff where it may be obvious who it's directed at.
If this staff is five people, how's that going to work?
But this is the best solution to a messy problem. I'm not sure a direct conversation would be anything other than embarrassing for the both of you. I can't think of a non-awkward way to ask someone to use the bathroom less obtrusively.
Quit blowing up the toilet.
Yeah.
You know.
Your coworker may suffer from Crohn's disease
or
a similar ailment, but even if she isn't, presumably she is not doing this recreationally, but out of an unfortunate necessity.
Recreationally? Who recreationally takes a dump in the office?
I know.
On the... Like,
I know, but she's trying to say.
Constitutional.
She's not doing it on purpose.
Okay.
She's trying to underscore.
Recreationally? I'm giving advice on that adverb, and I say no.
Unless you're doing a cleanse. Like,
yes.
It's like a prissy cleanse.
Maybe
like,
she's doing a cleanse.
Yeah.
Like a lot of cleanse.
Well, if you're new, you shouldn't really do a cleanse.
You know, it coincided. She started that cleanse
the week
before. I have to say, because I don't do... Remember when cleanses were the thing? Everyone was doing them all the time. That was an issue.
Yeah.
I work at home, so I was like, yeah. But if I worked in an office,
you can't
do a cleanse.
No. The note coupled with the new air freshener will hopefully help, as might an office fan or white noise machine or easy listening jazz.
Ooh, I prefer the white noise machine.
I feel
like the jazz, I don't know.
Yeah, because you can't...
You just go in there and flip that on.
You can't depend on the jazz.
Yes.
Because what if it's improvisational jazz and it's like do-do-do-do-do and then yeah, you don't know.
Or what if it's like soft?
Yeah.
You know, they put on some smooth jazz.
Kenny G.
Yeah.
You don't even know what's going on.
No.
Is that Kenny G or is it
you? You know, I feel like Kenny G might be worse.
Yes.
Put something with a lot of percussion at least.
Yeah.
At a minimum.
And then...
I mean, really?
The human body is necessary.
This is so far afield.
I know. It's like, look, I got so many things to say about this.
The dawn of man.
The human body is a necessary, horrible vessel.
Oh, wow.
And all we have to ride around in the, and we all have to ride around in these failing flesh machines.
Okay. It's not that bad. It's just, It's excrement. Come on.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it's gas.
Yeah.
Doing our absolute best with what we've got. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Maybe. I just love that. Wait, let me read that one more time.
Please do, because that is a gem.
The human body is a necessary, horrible vessel. We all have to ride around in these failing flesh machines doing our absolute best with what we've got.
Wow. You know what?
I felt like saluting. Yes. That's
salute. Nasty, brutish, and short, and a horrible vessel. I like it. Michael F. delivers once again.
Thank you, Michael F.
Wow.
We salute you.
Yeah. We salute all of you out there. And poopery, everybody. Okay, so I found this. We've been kind of doing a lot of segments on Bigfoot lately, because we had ignored Bigfoot and cryptozoology for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So I found something really disturbing here. This is about an organization. So we know about BFRO, which is a Bigfoot research organization.
Yes.
These are peaceable, wonderful people who are searching for...
BFRO.
Who are searching for Sasquatch.
Yeah.
As it were. Now I find these guys...
I like the way you say Sasquatch.
Well, that was one of the Native American pronunciations on the Sasquatch.
I know. I like that you're going...
I'm trying to keep it real.
Yes.
Real American. Native American. So there's another organization called GC Bro, which is the Gulf Coast Bigfoot Research Organization. And they have a very special and controversial mission to find and kill Bigfoot.
Why?
In the name of science.
Aww.
These are a bunch of redneck hunters who are out there. It says, who want to kill Bigfoot because they think only by showing, what do they say, a male of the species, will science then acknowledge. What is it? Why do they have to kill it?
And why a male, by the way? Yes. What if it's a female? Then females? It's not real.
No. It's just some hairy thing with tits. All right. So their quote is, the body of one adult male is the only way our government will... Because it's the government that's holding Bigfoot down.
Okay. That's right.
It's the only way our government will admit these creatures do exist, says Jim Lansdale, in Killing Bigfoot, a special that will premiere Friday on Discovery's Destination America channel. So this was like a couple of years ago. I never heard about this. It's a spoiler alert. If you're hoping the show ends with Bigfoot on a slab, they don't find Bigfoot and they don't kill it. Killing Bigfoot follows the men of GC Bro. Couldn't even come up with a decent acronym. BFRO's all right.
I like BFRO.
As they receive and follow up on reports of Bigfoot sightings in the thick woods and swamps of Texas and Louisiana. I'll just leave those two states out there and let you make your own commentary. Often from spooked locals. Including at least one couple who invited GC Bro onto their property to stake it out and hunt. So they can only hunt for Bigfoot on private property.
Oh.
You cannot just be running around out there everywhere looking for... So they have to be invited. Like a vampire, you have to invite them in.
You have to invite them in, okay.
Yeah. It says, Jim Lansdale again, we're the first line of defense to protect people and their farm animals from Bigfoot. Because Bigfoot's taking over. It's coming for your wife, your job. God.
So they're instilling fear in the public.
Yes.
Like it's really here.
Like it's a real
thing.
We have
proof of this and we need to come and kill it.
It says, this approach to stalking the legendary Sasquatch is controversial within the Bigfoot research community. BFRO ain't with it, basically. it says, there's another guy here, John Kirk III, who's the president of the British Columbia Scientific Cryptozoology Club, says, to me, hunting and trying to kill a Sasquatch is rank insanity.
Rank insanity.
Right. What gives you the right to do that? You know, the police, law enforcement agencies, conservation officers, I don't think they take kindly to the notion of people running around forests with guns, trying to stalk a bipedal hairy hominid. They are dangerous to other people. Now, you can tell this guy's Canadian because he cares.
Mm-hmm.
He's concerned about what's going on. What gives these guys the right to do it? I have no idea.
Yeah,
why would you want to kill Bigfoot?
Right.
So anyway, they tried to, I think it was just a one-off special. It was a 45-minute program, and at the end of it, they did not find Bigfoot. Jim Lansdale, again, co-founder of GC Bro, says, getting a good shot can be a challenge in the thickets where we hunt. It always gets back to having the right target remain long enough for a debilitating shot.
Oh, it's about the environment and the shot. And can they get the shot off the guy?
10 years ago, they believe they did land a shot and wounded a Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
He claims resulting blood samples indicated that the animal that they shot belonged to the great ape family.
Mm-hmm.
I guess all of this stuff happened before he figured out how to write a show pitch for the Discovery Channel or whatever.
Right.
It says, with any sort of species discovery, scientists always need an actual dead specimen to test everything and for it to be accurate. No, they don't.
They don't.
You don't need a dead specimen
for anything.
This guy's, really? DNA samples can be unreliable. That means we're looking for something specific, a male in the 7 to 10 foot range. So if you're a female Bigfoot out there or an adolescent Bigfoot, you're in the clear. They are looking for your pops, a 7 to 10 foot tall male of the species.
And to them, that's an adult.
They somehow come up with that 7 to 10 feet tall. Why would you want to kill Bigfoot? Isn't Bigfoot supposed to be a gentle creature?
It's supposed to be. Like, it's just trying to mind its own business.
If it exists, it is so minding its own business.
Yes.
And how can it do that with these crazy people running around in the woods looking for it? Again, as we've commented before, you're not going to find any remains because leprechauns take care of
them. That's right. Leprechauns eat dead Bigfoot, yes. And that's what we have discovered.
That's what we have discovered, and that's what we are putting out there. Yeah. So good luck, CG bro. I think Bebro should hunt CG bro.
Right.
How about that?
What is this? If Bigfoot do not exist, if the Sasquatch does not exist,
yes.
And it is something that is in the human imagination throughout cultures, throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
What does it represent that we are looking for?
We're looking for some kind of link between ourselves and quote unquote the natural world. So I've had this discussion with many people. I find that I think we're a part of everything that's here.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that is so different from us on this planet. Like everything has evolved here. But I think some people feel like we are divorced from nature in some way. And I think that the Sasquatch, if you will, represents some kind of a bridge between our past as animals and what we are today, which is human animals.
Okay, so it's like we see ourselves as civilized.
Yes.
And so different from everything else.
Yeah.
And there's got to be
maybe the Sasquatch represents a wild party animal that we wish we could be. I don't know. What do you think?
Freedom from razors.
Yes, freedom from depilatory creams.
And Nair.
Nair and all that kind
Nair
of stuff.
Nair and strips, wax strips.
We always defer to the 70s version of Bigfoot in which there's, you know, cut-off shorts and just freedom.
Yeah.
That's what it represents to us. It represents the freedom that we no longer have in the United States.
And drinking beer in the car while you drive.
Beer, you know. It's like those commercials they show messing with Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, I don't know if it's for Slim Jims or deodorant or Axe spray or
those infuriate me.
They make me angry because it's like, why are you messing with what's supposed to be in our imagination, you know, a very gentle creature? It'd be like messing with pixies.
Yeah. It's like, why do you think you are allowed to mess with other things?
I don't know.
Other creatures.
Well, that's what, I mean, we could ask the dudes over at GC Bro who are so desperate to kill anything that they're looking for, you know, what could be a mythical creature.
Yeah.
All right. What do you have?
Well, this is something called War Child Canada.
Huh?
It's about children suffer the most during war. The destruction and violence of conflict rob them of their childhood and leave them vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a charity called War Child Canada. They work hard to make sure.
Oh, War Child.
War
okay.
Child, yeah. They work hard to make sure children in war-affected areas are taken care of and receive access to basic health care, education, opportunities to learn skills and get jobs, as well as legal services.
Oh, it's cool.
So what the campaign, it's satirical, I'll tell you that much.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It leads people into believing they can perform motherly duties to children in war-affected areas via a new robot technology. So they say, oh, yes, why don't you, we can send a surrogate.
Instead of being human.
Instead of being human, it lets visitors select from a menu of products they would be delivered by robot to children in war-torn countries. So people are like, oh, I can send a robot out to this war-torn area to help
and
a kid.
And help these children out.
And it looks
who
very official.
Nothing more than like, human contact is what they need.
Yeah, it looks official, and you can donate to have the robot go out and prepare a casserole. Lull a child to sleep, hug a child.
Why a casserole?
Then you have with a few clicks, visitors can send these services to children in war-torn areas.
A casserole.
That's the thing. It is.
So they're trying to bring awareness.
Awareness that you can't just.
Gotcha.
You can't just look at the children. Look what war is doing.
Yeah.
You can't just send a robot. You can't just send
you
somebody.
You can't divorce yourself. From
you
it.
Can't replace.
Humanity.
Parental care and motherhood. This is what children really need. And you can't just send supplies over to somebody.
So they need more than...
They need more than...
Service delivery.
Food. Yeah. They need more than just, you know, medical care. They need hugs. They need
They need people.
Yeah.
To care about them.
They need their mothers, and they don't need the war.
Did you see the website for it?
Yes. Yes.
Is it convincing? Were you like, huh? A castle?
Yeah, well, I was like, oh, this is so interesting. They're going to send robots out to these kids. I got to hear about this. And it says you can't donate motherhood, but you can donate money.
Huh. I like it.
Yeah, it's just the idea. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not even, in all the robot research that we've done, we haven't even heard about robots going out and doing anything positive for children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So... That would have caught my eye right away.
Because that's what I thought. Oh gosh, a robot going out to care for their kids.
I'm still stuck on whoever the copywriter was. That was like, we'll put a casserole in there, see if people go for that.
Yes,
because I think that's the kind of thing that someone would be like, hey, I'll just send him a casserole.
Yeah,
it'll be fine.
Yeah,
cheese log.
But that's right. It's comforting. It's comfort food. That's like a casserole, something you usually send to somebody who has lost.
Yeah. But here you are going to send a casserole to war-torn wherever.
Yeah. Sorry about your mom.
Yeah, here's a casserole with turkey onions. All
right. Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Penis news.
Oh.
We have not had a little penis news in a while. There hasn't been a lot out there. I feel like I've run through the mill. But this is something that is, you know, I'm going to put it in our segment. Penis news is a segment where I go out and I report on penises in the news, dick updates, scrotum stories, the member on the move.
Yes,
and I tell you about it here. This is actually a little health advice for you gentlemen. This is food for your dick.
What?
Foods that will make your penis, you know, do better.
Do better in life? Achieve?
Yeah, achieve more. Achieve greatness.
Get 401k?
It's going to make your penis great again, if you're concerned. So it says here, some foods for your penis. I put this one on the headline, coffee for your cock. Apparently, morning coffee can protect you from going limp later.
What?
So it sounds gentlemen who downed 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day. This is every guy in New York. So no one in New York has ED, basically. 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day were less likely to report erectile dysfunction issues than men who skipped the coffee. Why does it happen? Apparently, caffeine triggers effects in your body to help the arteries and the penis relax and increases blood flow. So that produces a similar effect to ED drugs like Viagra. I didn't know how Viagra worked. That's I mean, basically what it does is it helps things get flowing better, both mentally and physically, I guess. Another one is vitamin D for your D, is what they say.
Oh.
So vitamin D for everybody, by the way.
By the way, yes, everybody's low on vitamin D.
Yeah, everyone's low on vitamin D, especially gentlemen of color, especially you. Get out there, you need more D for your D. It says the more vitamin D you have, it raises the testosterone levels. It also puts, the more vitamin D you have, the less risk you are at erectile dysfunction, said Italian researchers. It doesn't say who, just Italians. Italians are working on this. They're like, we got to be at the beach. Ladies.
GTL.
And gentlemen.
Gym, tan, laundry.
Exactly, or it's not going to work. When you don't get enough vitamin D, you produce free radicals that decrease nitric oxide, and then the blood vessels don't flow as much, and if the blood vessels don't flow, it can't get to your member. And it will not work. Here's another one. They had terrible titles for these, so I changed this one to Bust a Nut. Apparently eating nuts is good for your nuts.
Really?
As it were. It says, choose nuts. This is something they've been working on in Turkey. So I guess each region of the world is working on a different...
On something that something they can different. That they could do. Like the Italians love the beach.
Yes.
And I'm going to say that because I'm Italian.
But I mean, and they have beautiful beaches.
Yes.
I guess in Turkey they have a lot of nuts. I don't know. But it says after 17 men, this is a small study, 17 men with ED ate 100 grams of pistachios for 3 weeks, they all improved, said that they had better sex life.
You know, because they're probably improving the rest of their diet.
Exactly. They're just being healthy. So pistachios contain a lot of amino acids, and they boost the nitric oxide. Also, yeah, I'm imagining when they tell people to replace or to start eating something like more nuts, they probably take something else out of their diet that's unhealthy.
Yeah.
As a, like potato chips.
Right.
Or something
right,
like that.
Right, right, right. Triglycerides in those.
Yeah, things. Those kind of things. Yeah. Here's another one. Fruit. Gentlemen, load up on it.
No kidding.
It says only 13% of Americans eat enough fruit.
Yeah, isn't that something?
I mean, I don't eat a huge amount, but I eat, you know, maybe a piece a day. I try to eat a piece or two, depending on the season.
Yeah.
In the summer, in the spring, summer, more of it.
People don't eat a lot of fruit. Yeah.
Just grab an apple, gentlemen. Or
it makes you feel better. It makes you feel less anxious, too.
And it fills you up.
Yeah.
And apparently it helps you Johnson out. They did a 10-year study with 25,000 men at Harvard. And researchers found that men who ate foods packed with certain flavonoids, which I like, which are found in fruit, they had a lower ED risk. The effect was particularly strong amongst those under 70 years old. I mean, that's like everybody,
Come on.
Really?
If you're under 70,
yes.
It's really going to be
it's
effective.
It's really going to be.
Yeah.
So they're saying blueberries, strawberries, apples, and citrus fruit, a few times a week, reduces ED by 9 to 11%. Then they also said men who are physically active. This is for everything, though. If you eat well and are physically active, every part of your body is going to work better, including your Johnson. And then the last one is...
Nuts, fruit, sunshine.
Yeah. Nuts, fruit, sunshine.
Exercise.
Exercise, yeah. You know, stop smoking, stuff like that. They also say the Mediterranean diet is better for your balls.
Everybody says the Mediterranean diet is good for everything.
Let's go ask women in the Mediterranean how it's working out for them. And men who are having sex with men. If the Mediterranean diet makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And then the last one is peppers, peaches, and spinach. Because vitamin C is needed for healthy sperm. It said they did a research of 75 men, heavy smokers with poor semen quality.
Oh.
And
what is the mark of poor semen quality?
Well,
according to science,
weak swimmers, low sperm count.
Okay.
Just crappy semen.
All right.
Like it just, you know, blue plate special. Nobody wants it. It's on the sale aisle. So they gave them vitamin C. And they found that with that, the sperm were able to swim better. They looked nicer. They survived longer.
That's a nice looking sperm.
They were friendlier.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, these are all food for your penis. So some health news there, gentlemen. Good luck. Just be healthy, it sounds like. Get out in the sun, exercise, go to Italy, eat Turkish nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, relax and you'll be all right. So that's my inspirational penis news.
That's nice.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, there you go.
Yeah, next week.
You're welcome.
We'll be back with people getting their dick stuck in things like that.
Yeah, always.
Something classy like that.
Oh, God.
All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from Dare Campfire.
Oh, so Tales from Dare Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories. And we retell them here around the digital campfire. So, gather around.
Gather around, listeners. This one is from the United Kingdom.
Okay. I'm already into it.
It's called Man Under the Staircase. Not to ruin it for you.
Oh. Is this going to be about a gentleman below a staircase?
So, this started while I was with a group of friends having a sleepover.
Okay.
It was October 2000.
Was it like teens, I guess?
Teenager, yes.
Okay.
It was in October 2016.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fairly recent.
Yeah.
We decided we wanted to go for a walk in the dark, bearing in mind my friend's house is on a cliff by the sea.
Huh? Okay.
That's what got me. That's my selling point. They're out in the dark on it,
just,
walking near a cliff.
You know, how you do.
We went out, then came back in.
As you do.
Everyone wanted to go out again, and I volunteered to exit first.
Wait, let me just say, this is that classic slumber party thing to do.
Yeah.
It's like you get up the courage with your girlfriends or to go out and do something, and then you run back, and they're like, no, let's keep doing it again. Nothing happened.
Yeah. Now, to get out of the front door, you have to go down an outside wooden staircase. Uh-huh. I stepped outside.
Jeez,
and
it's a wooden staircase?
I know.
What's...
I stepped outside, and underneath the staircase is an apparition. It's in a crawling position.
Ew.
It didn't have any facial features, and it was quite pale. It was wearing all black. I know...
Was it Sarah Jessica Parker?
I know it didn't have any features, but its head was looking at me, and then it said, boo.
Huh?
Yeah.
Rude.
I stood there shocked and whispered, fuck this shit. Run.
I like this girl, whoever she is.
I know. Everyone heard it, boo, but I was the only person to see it.
Man, fuck this. Let's book it.
Yeah, we all ran inside, and I didn't go back outside. I researched a tiny bit, and the thing I saw resembled a Slenderman.
The Grobman.
The Grobman.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's back.
Yes. Ever since this happened, creepy things have been happening to me. I'll probably write a whole story on some of these things as they're quite detailed, but I'll put in a quick one.
Okay.
It actually happened last night. I was staying at my dad's girlfriend's parents' house.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, here we go. I couldn't sleep at all.
Talk about a handoff. Nobody wanted this girl.
My dad's girlfriend's parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't sleep at all. The whole night, eerie stuff went down. I could hear constant heavy breathing, footsteps on the landing, which lasted for ages. I asked my family if it had been them, and it was nothing.
Okay.
Okay. So.
The Grobman. We haven't talked about the Grobman for a while.
I know. That was our very first. That was our launch.
Yeah, of
our
Tales from Dark Campfire. So the Slenderman.
Yeah, that's how we started. Yeah. Tales from the Campfire was... Yeah.
It was scary.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we got?
She was asking for help, and some people were commenting. And they said, the Slender Man is a myth.
Okay.
It's just that, an urban myth that had developed a life of its own thanks to the internet, and now considered by many to be actually real. And says, and yes, some of our fellow humans can be far more dangerous and disturbing than our spiritual friends around us.
Okay.
She said, consider changing the name of Slenderman to the Boogeyman, and you'll get my point. It's a mythical evil creature that is a manifestation of our fears of the unknown and a symbol of our own approaching mortality.
I didn't know about that part.
And I don't know about that either.
I didn't know the Boogeyman was about mortality. I mean, yes, it's trying to kill you.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was about, you know, because children see it. And are children afraid of death? For themselves?
No. They don't even know. They don't even get it.
Yeah. That doesn't come until what? Like in your late teens when you realize that, oh my, I might not last forever.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Obviously, I wasn't there, but I can guess on the move.
Obviously. Yeah, because you didn't get a mention in the story.
Yeah.
The original story.
I guess mood when you all decided to go for a night walk. It was scary and exciting and thrilling. And you all decided to go out because as individuals, you were too scared to go it alone.
Mm-hmm. And also, why? It's a slumber party. You're not going to be like, yeah, I'll be back in like 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah. That group, the walk. Group mentality can be a powerful feeling and you can be swept up in it. And then they say, you know, if you change the word Slenderman to the Grim Reaper, many people fear death and these creatures become an embodiment of that fear,
Wait, though. But the Grim Reaper, popularly,
yeah, it's a whole different thing. Yeah.
It is not crouching. It is approaching you openly.
And it's
it
got
carries...
A, yeah, it's got a job to do because the Grim Reaper has a book
yes.
with your name in it
yeah.
and when you're supposed to go and when it's time.
He's on
go.
The clock. He's just doing his thing. And yeah. the Grim Reaper, it never stops. It keeps coming. It would have just knocked on the door and been like, Reaper.
It's just... And it's a part of nature. It's not a malicious
no,
thing.
No, it's just what happens.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. Yeah, the Slender Man and the Grim Reaper are not the same.
Yeah.
Boogeyman, I don't know about. That's kind of passe.
Yeah, that's a weird.
I don't know what the...
What's a boogeyman?
Well, I just remember hearing about it when I was a kid. There was Boogeyman and also the Boogity Man. I'm assuming they're the same.
I would imagine.
But no one ever... Like, so adults would say, watch out for the Boogeyman, but we didn't really know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Nor did we know how to spell it.
Yeah.
So we probably couldn't look it up either. But in my mind, a Boogeyman is just like whatever you were... Your imagination can bring to mind.
It's something awful and ugly that's going to come and hurt you or kill you.
Yeah, but it's not, it doesn't have a specific look to it. I was always afraid of anything that had a very large face. I always thought that was frightening.
Yeah.
So it could be just a normal human being with an extremely long face or large
right.
face that's out of you know, the size of the body.
Another reader had commented saying... As for what you saw that October night crouching under the stairs, it could have been a person in a costume playing a prank on you.
Really?
And there are many living weirdos in the world even more dangerous than any spirit. You're lucky he kept his clothes on.
But what about his face?
Yeah.
Why would he take his clothes off?
Yeah.
I mean, is that scary?
Yeah.
A naked man crouching with a face mask?
That says boo.
That says boo? I don't know. I feel like today's young women might set upon that with sticks. There's a group of... If you're a group of girls and you see something like that and you think you have no... You can't get away, you might fight.
Yeah. You better watch it.
Yeah, it's 2017.
Some people are not, you know, think again before you do the pranks.
Yeah, I don't think it was a person with a prank.
I don't think so either, especially when you have that facial thing going
on. Yeah, I mean, that seems like a lot of, you know, industrial light magic going on down there.
But also, this is a suggestion here that if you are fearful and you're in a group of people, you're all afraid, that fear manifests something.
It can.
That is actually just a projection of your fear. It's not anything real, but you can take that astral energy.
But only one person sees it. Is that how it works? So the whole group doesn't see it. Only the one person sees it. So the fear is generated, and then it is, I don't know, focused on one person? Or one person is like a catalyst for that, and then they see something.
Yeah, maybe.
It's unfortunate that we don't all see the same thing, because that would be pretty cool. But
yeah,
I don't think as the species that we are, we're that aligned with each other to be able to see. Like, if you're freaked out by something, and if you have a vision of it, I'm not going to be able to see it either, which kind of sucks. Because I'd like to. That would be cool.
Yeah, so it's an idea that all this energy, because, you know, you have energy for everything. You have all kinds of energy. And if it really gets concentrated and that fear gets really...
Then something's going to happen.
Yeah.
I always find it fascinating when, if you've ever gone to, like, a haunted house or, like, an amusement park ride where they have big people in character that are supposed to scare you a little bit. I have been with groups of people when it happened at a Star Trek thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Borg. So they had some people dressed up as, like, the Borg or whatever. And then for some reason, someone in our group got spooked and everyone started moving quickly. I'm like, but we were just like, we all know it's fake.
Yeah.
Like, we all know this guy isn't real. But it was like what you're talking about. That happened.
Yeah.
And then we all, like, shuffled a little bit. We're like, just keep going.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Or it's like in Ghostbusters when they were, the Ghostbusters were asked to pick the incarnation of the Destroyer.
Yes.
And so, sure, was it Gozer? Was like... Was the deity that actually manifested the Stay Puft Marshmallow?
Stay Puft Marshmallow guy.
But it was feeding off everybody's fear. That's where all the energy came from. That thing wasn't powerful enough.
Yeah.
To manifest the Stay Puft
on its own.
Yeah, he needed to keep scaring everybody.
I'm surprised.
So in New York and that negativity, they kind of scooped all that negativity together and then
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man
appear.
I'm surprised that under this administration we haven't seen multiple Stay Puft men running around the five boroughs.
I think that Trump is our Stay Puft Man.
He might be the gigantic Stay Puft Man.
He is. I think so. Remember how bad 2016 was?
Yeah.
And then even before that, people were, like, in the 2 years before 2016, a lot of people started, it was kind of like a pulsating waves of negativity that were increasing
and
in duration.
I think it wasn't just a social phenomenon in the sense that, like, being secular, there were a lot of religions that were saying there was something going on as well.
All kinds of people were saying for the 2 years prior something was coming.
It's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
And it has manifested as Trump. And the thing is, people are like, how could he have been there? The qualities that people that like him, that they see as positive,
mm-hmm.
are greed,
yeah.
are avarice,
being inconsiderate,
all those things. It's just like, yeah, that's what a leader is. They have somehow made that into something great, and then all his negative qualities are what the opposite side of the party
are seeing as a bad thing.
But we're all focusing
on the same thing.
Whereas the Democrats, or, you know,
are you the Democrats? I'm not a Democrat.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
I saw a funny thing. Just
focusing on that's bad.
To light that, I saw a picture of someone had taken his hair off, and he shows what he looks like without his hair on. And you
what
see,
does he look like?
He looked like somebody, just like your angry, typical, like, racist, low class piece of shit with no hair. Like, and it looks kind of sad. That's why he has that rug up there.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing. I never think of a bald man is less than,
mm-hmm.
but apparently a lot of dudes do, and
really?
They will put anything up there from a trampled raccoon to what he has going on to mask the reality of what they look like. He is a very unattractive man.
Yeah.
And the hair is helping him. If anyone has a chance, go out there and Google it. You can see pictures of him with the hair photoshopped off. Mm-hmm. He just looks like just like a weird farmer, like a disgruntled farmer or something like that. It looks like some of the people who I grew up with.
Wow.
Just like desperate and out there. It's that hair.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should snatch it.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
With jerky.
I'm just thinking about that. Someone in my building asked me the other day, they were making a casserole. They're like, do you have any of those little onions? I'm like, oh, the dirty onions? No. I always remember as a kid having a canister of them.
Yes.
That never got used. It was like, it's like Spam, an emergency canister.
Right.
Of, what is it? Are they fried, dried onions?
Fried and dried.
I have no idea.